Welcome back to Power of Attorney Radio. I'm Wayne Zell, your host, and with me today is my very special guest, Mr. Jack Fitzgerald. Welcome, Mr. Fitzgerald. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I've got to tell you that everybody in Washington knows who Jack Fitzgerald is. 1956, he left his job as a successful door-to-door salesman only to begin selling cars, and of course the rest is history. After 10 years in selling cars at a local Ford dealer, he purchased an interest in a Dodge dealership in downtown Bethesda, where I grew up, and it was then that Fitzgerald developed what has now become the dealership's hallmark, providing customers with a different kind of auto buying experience, and I can attest to that, posted prices and an award-winning internet site. Located in three states, Fitzgerald is listed number 46 in the top 100 auto dealers in the U.S., according to Ward's Magazine, and employs more than 1,200 people. The Fitzgerald Auto Group includes auto dealerships with more than 20 brands and rental car companies, including Priceless Rent-A-Car, Next Car Rental Cars, and Rent-A-Rec System nationwide. Now, he is no novice. Mr. Fitzgerald is no novice to lobbying. Back following the bankruptcy of GM and Chrysler in 2009, he formed a grassroots organization called the Committee to Restore Dealer Rights. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What happened in that instance?
Well, we were able to get support from both sides of the aisle to keep the dealerships open.
I think that was the last time that both sides of the aisle agreed on anything.
But we did have almost even 289 people in the House and 49 in the Senate. But we were running out of time, so we made a deal.
And what was the deal?
It was a complex thing, but I only say this. The inspector general that evaluated found that everything we had told the Congress and the Senate was correct. We told the truth, and we were right. And there were people that lost their jobs, didn't have to lose their jobs. But a lot of jobs were saved in the end. So we feel good about that.
You ended up saving a ton of auto dealerships and jobs in the process.
Oh, some of my own.
Right. With the success of this organization, members urged Mr. Fitzgerald to continue his efforts with the grassroots organization that he'd started to build. So he expanded to include farmers and ranchers and all private businesses and formed an organization known as ASSET, Americans Standing for the Simplification of the Estate Tax, to seek a permanent solution to the devastation caused by the estate tax. Can you tell us, you know, I'm an estate planning lawyer, and I understand what the ins and outs of avoiding estate tax are and how to, you know, minimize taxes and the techniques that are being used. What is the devastation, in your opinion, that's being caused by the estate tax today?
Well, there are many businesses and farms that cannot be conveniently tucked into a trust.
Right.
You can put cash in a trust easy, stocks, bonds, all that sort of thing, and go into a trust. So the super rich don't pay estate taxes. And everybody knows this. It's the people that are in between. And unfortunately, we are major employers.
Right.
So if our business is impacted, I have people that will lose their jobs. So to try and prevent that with my company, I'm paying almost $700,000 a year after tax cash to pay for life insurance on me.
Just so that the life insurance can be there to avoid the estate tax.
Well, to pay the tax.
Right.
To pay the tax. But the tax is unfairly applied. Many, many wealthy, wealthy people never pay the estate tax.
Right.
Or their estates don't pay estate taxes. But farmers and particularly franchise businesses are very exposed to the estate tax. And that's not what the government intends. So our solution is to pay it ahead of time. I don't want the government to lose a penny.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to stop wasting money. Most people, and the Tax Foundation has cited three studies that attempt to prove this, most people pay more money to avoid the tax than the tax brings to the government.
That's true.
So everybody's making money on this thing except the government. And my instincts tell me the government probably spends more to collect the tax than the tax itself, although the IRS won't tell you what they spend.
So no, you never know that.
For sure.
You never know that. Plus, you know, with litigation and other things that result.
Well, that's what runs the cost up.
That's right.
The Justice Department has to devote time to that. they could be chasing people that are hiding money offshore.
That's right. The real tax cheats.
Yeah. But the most, and then the, perhaps the single most important devastating impact is the impact on the economy. When you close down businesses that are operating and are making money, you're closing down a source of revenue to the government. But even more important than that, you're making people get new jobs.
Let me give a real life example. Back in the 70s, during the heyday of the Miami Dolphins, there was a gentleman named Joe Robbie. And we were talking before we began to record this session. I don't know if you were aware of this, but he was worth hundreds of millions of dollars at the time of his death, but it was all in illiquid assets. It was the Miami Dolphins and commercial real estate in downtown Miami. He ended up having to liquidate his entire estate to pay the taxes that were owed. He wasn't one of the wealthy people that did all this estate planning. And the IRS won in that particular instance, and his family ended up with virtually nothing after the taxes were done. So it cuts both ways. The government may collect something or it may not in some cases, or the families may be hurt. And in this case, family farms and small businesses is what you're saying could be devastated as a result of this.
Well, and medium-sized businesses. Small businesses are typically under the radar now with a $5 million exemption.
Right.
And that was on purpose.
Right.
It actually could be 10 million if it's a married couple.
10 and a half with indexing for inflation.
There you go. And it's going and the right way.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's still, there are a lot of people with assets more than that.
Well, for example, take farms.
Right.
The longer you keep the farm, the closer suburban sprawl gets to you. And so your farm might quadruple in value. Well, when the government comes in to appraise it, they appraise it at the value that they can determine on the date of death.
Correct.
Now, your children may have spent their entire lives, by the way, making that farm work. Doesn't matter. The government pretends that they don't have any interest in it. It's very unfair. So the farm may have to be sold, which means agribusiness gets bigger, public agribusiness gets bigger, and private agribusiness gets smaller. This has been going on for a long time. That's why the family farms are diminishing in number, one of the reasons. Another reason for private business is in order to get the money out of a business to pay the tax, you almost certainly have to sell it. And if you have to do that in 6 months, which is what the statute says, you're going to be doing it at a fire sale.
Everybody
knows they can buy it cheap.
Now, it's 9 months, and you do get, not to play devil's advocate with you, but you do get a second bite at the apple, if you will, because the IRS has a code section that says if you have a closely held business that's at least 35% owned by the family, including trusts, then you can spread out that tax over 15 years, and you get a tax holiday for the first 5 years.
Well, the problem with that is, though, that they can put a tax lien on your property.
They sure do.
And you can't borrow anything. Because that tax lien test preference, and banks just can't lend you any money.
They don't want to lend you any money.
Well,
either.
They can't.
That's right.
They'd be in trouble with the feds for
doing that. So it's not a solution, is what you're saying.
No, it's not. It's one of these pretend things that you do in the Congress when both sides can't agree on anything, so they make some sort of compromise, which means nothing to anybody.
So tell us a little bit more about assets solution, the 1% solution.
Well, the tax has historically brought in 1% of all the revenue the government gets. Recently, the recent changes have reduced that to approximately 1/3 of 1%, is my best guess based on scores I've seen from the Joint Tax Committee.
Right.
If that's the case, then that means that the wealthiest 1% of taxpayers who traditionally have paid 2.5% of their pay will pay less than 1% of their AGI to equal the cash flow. So our premise is, why not just pay it while we're alive? And then the government would also get a capital gains tax on our assets when they're sold. So in a way, the government could get a lot more money this way, and they wouldn't put anybody out of work. No one would have to lose their job. No farms would have to be sold at a fire sale, or businesses sold at a fire sale, and the government would make more money. It's a big win for everybody, except the life insurance industry. And, they have some special tax privileges that maybe they shouldn't have anyway. But any event, they're not supposed to be making money.
That's another show.
Yeah. They're not supposed to be making money on the federal estate tax.
They're the last legal tax shelter, the inside buildup of life insurance. And so that is a whole nother issue. But,
I pay those guys nearly $700,000 a year after taxes.
Wow.
After taxes. And our these kinds of businesses have very small margins.
Yes, they do.
Very small margins. We don't have room to do anything more. And we don't have, with the regulations we have to comply with and the mandated benefits that we have to, of course, I've had health insurance for my employees since 1966. And I get the same health insurance. I don't have a Cadillac problem to worry about.
Right.
We have a decent plan that does a decent job, but it's very expensive. And, we have all that in place, but it doesn't leave very much in the way of a net profit that we can accumulate cash to be able to pay the taxes out of cash. We have to have some income. And the life insurance I have is less than $20 million, and it wouldn't cover the whole tax. But it would make a big enough payment that we could probably borrow privately. That's what I did in 1972 when my partner died.
Mm-hmm.
We had life insurance that covered one store, and I was able to borrow enough to pay the other two privately so that we could pay off the government right away.
So if the estate tax were repealed, under your plan, what would happen is the wealthiest taxpayers would pay an additional 1% surcharge, if you will, on their adjusted gross income? Is that how it would work?
Well, we're not saying to repeal the tax. We're changing the way it's collected.
Uh-huh.
The tax will stay in place just the way it is.
The estate tax would stay in place?
Yeah, well, look, most people are out of reach now with the $5 and $10 million exemption, which are indexed for inflation, as you reminded me.
Right.
So most people are sheltered. Most small businesses are safe. It's the moderate-sized businesses where lots of employees are, and farms that have employees that are really in trouble with this. And our position is, let's just pay it. If somebody doesn't want to do it, they don't have to. It would be an optional. But the tax stays in place, so what we're changing is the way it's collected. But the effect of what we're doing is to take away all the downside that the tax brings to the table. Nobody has to lose their job. No farm has to be auctioned off. No business has to be liquidated. It's just a smart way to do things. And all sides, get what they want.
Wouldn't it be better just to impose that tax as an alternative to the estate tax? Because it would save all of the planning dollars that are going out the door to the lawyers. I mean, it's in my self-interest not to ask for that, but wouldn't it be better just to say, let's put the money into the income tax and have it paid that way and repeal the estate tax altogether?
Well, the problem with that is there are a lot of people that feel that we should have an estate tax. It's a long, complicated issue. It's emotional for a lot of people. The tax isn't bringing in any money.
Right.
But it is there. It's an estate tax.
Well, when you show the cost of compliance to the Internal Revenue Service, the Department of Treasury, the Department of Justice, and all the other costs that are being incurred by the federal government, I'd rather lose those jobs instead of the jobs in small business and medium-sized businesses, wouldn't you?
Well, you're after them. I'm after the life insurance industry. Between the two of us, we're going to get in a lot of trouble here.
I don't know. Life insurance does have its benefits, and I do endorse it in many, many circumstances.
Oh, but I agree. It does. It certainly does. And it's the only thing I've got now. With the law the way it is, mm-hmm. it's the only thing I have to protect my employees with.
Absolutely.
Unless I go find somebody to buy it.
We're talking with Jack Fitzgerald of the Fitzgerald Auto Group, but more importantly, of one of the founders of the Grassroots Coalition, now known as ASSET. Mr. Fitzgerald, if people want to know more about the ASSET efforts and if they want to bring the attention of what you're doing, this work that you're doing, to the attention of their congressman or senator, how do they find out more about this?
Well, simplifyestatetax.org is our website, simplifyestatetax.org. Or you can write to Jack at Fitzmall, and I'll plug you in, and I'll answer your questions, too.
Amazing. You're on email. You're like Ted Leonsis. You're ubiquitous.
I wouldn't go that far, but I'm available.
Thank you so much for being a special guest on Power of Attorney today, and we appreciate all your efforts to streamline our government.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm Wayne Zell. You've been listening to Power of Attorney Radio. Join us next week for another special topic and special guest, and visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Have a great week.